The NBA All-Star Game is this weekend, and there are expected to be many tributes to the late Kobe Bryant.
Kobe is, of course, a king in L.A. But his relationship with his hometown, Philadelphia, was complicated throughout his career.
I'm just out there trying to play and have a good time, and my feelings are hurt being from Philadelphia.
Today, we're joined by The Athletic's Michael Lee, who covers the NBA and lives in Philadelphia, to talk about how the city made Kobe the competitor he was, but didn't give him much love until the very end. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. It's Friday, February 14th. Nothing but love, y'all. And this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
I have never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
So, Michael, a lot of famous people have come from Philly, and they're publicly honored there, right? Like, there are murals for Will Smith and John Coltrane and Patti LaBelle, but that's not the case with Kobe.
Yeah, there's none of that for Kobe. If you drive up Market Street, you'll see different legends, you know, people who lived here and made a name for themselves. But there is no recognition for Kobe Bryant, who is renowned around the globe and regarded, you know, high esteem. But almost like an afterthought in his hometown.
And listen, Michael, Philly sports fans have a certain reputation.
Yes.
But it's important to understand like the personality of the city itself. So what is like the ethos of Philadelphia?
Philadelphia is, you know, sort of a blue collar city. You know, it's right between New York and D.C. And it sort of kind of has this chip on its shoulder because it's sort of the overlooked town, the former U.S. capital that, you know, it's not like the Eastern elite. So I think that a lot of people here, they kind of have this edge to them where they're kind of overlooked and they want to just be respected for being, you know, working hard for it, earning it, and just kind of overachieving despite not getting a lot of the hype.
And there's this feeling in the city and among its fans that, oh, you know, Kobe's not really from here. Why is that?
Guys who played in the city are sort of given a certain level of respect, you know, because they come from the gutter or they come from this real rough kind of grimy place. And Kobe didn't come from that. He spent, you know, 7 years of his youth in Italy, but he came back in 91, right before middle school, went to high school here. But he went to Lower Merion High School, which is one of the elite public schools in the country. And so he was never seen as like a guy who came from North Philly, you know, played at Simon Gratz, like a Rasheed Wallace or the Overbrook High where Wilt Chamberlain played. And anyone in Philadelphia knows that, you know, City Line Avenue is a dividing line. And if you're on one side of it, you're considered, you know, real. And if you're on the other side, you're just a suburban spoiled kid. And he grew up on the other side where he was considered a suburban spoiled kid.
And Michael, you actually live in the neighborhood where Kobe grew up. Can you describe the area?
Yeah, I mean, it's different because, you know, if you drive through Philadelphia, especially like West Philadelphia, you can see some dilapidated buildings. You can see some areas that could use a little refresher. But once you cross over City Line Avenue and into Lower Merion Township, you see this kind of bustling community. You see really large homes, you see the ultimate suburban lifestyle. So it's just one street over and you can sort of just already feel that it has a dramatic difference. And that's sort of where Kobe grew up. But he also was always in the neighborhood. He was always in Philadelphia. That's where he was able to play and, you know, really get his game better. So to him, he may have actually lived in the suburbs, but he existed in the city. And it's not his fault that he didn't come from that. His dad played in the NBA. So, of course, he's going to have a lot of benefits that other people didn't. But everything about him, from his attitude to the way he approached the game, it embodied Philadelphia all the way through and through. And he made it a point to express that whenever he had a chance, that I am who I am because of Philadelphia.
And Michael, you've actually made the argument that Philly mentality is Mamba mentality, this like competitiveness and fierceness that Kobe was known for.
Yeah, I had a chance to speak to Sonny Hill, who's a legend in Philadelphia basketball. Anybody who's come through, from Wilt Chamberlain to Kobe and anybody in between, you know, he's seen them, he's worked with them, he's watched them, and he knows the game probably better than anybody else. And he was a guy that said that the Mamba mentality was always in Kobe, that ability to strike, to just be relentless, to just kind of have a certain amount of confidence and belief in yourself and to not be denied. And you could see it just in the way he attacked the game and the way he never felt like he was satisfied with whatever success he had. And how whatever people tried to tell him he had to wait and earn it, he just went out and took it whenever the opportunity came.
Well, so tell us more about Sonny Hill, this larger-than-life character.
He's in the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. He's a fixture at Sixers games. He has an advisory role there. He's such a personality, and he's impossible to miss because he's one of the most well-dressed people you'll ever see. I've never seen him not exquisitely dressed, from a sharp suit to a top hat. And he'll wear like really lavish coats. So if you see a guy walking around at Sixers games, an older gentleman who just looks like he has just the ultimate swag, you know.
And Sonny Hill also runs this really famous summer league in Philadelphia, which has seen a lot of players go to the NBA.
Yeah, Kobe would come back during the summers. His dad played in Italy, but he would come back during the summers. And his father, Joe Jellybean Bryant, and his uncle, they both played in the Sonny Hill League. So they would bring him back. And Kobe told the story that when he first played in the Sonny Hill League, he didn't score his first summer when he was here. He didn't score a bucket the entire time. And so he was so upset by that, that drove him, that when he came back the next year, he was determined to come out and prove that he was the best player. And so he would come back year after year from Italy to just show that he was better and better and better.
So when Kobe's dad retires, the family moves to Philly permanently, and Kobe ends up playing at Lower Merion High School. And that's where he's spotted by a really important guy who you interviewed.
Yeah, John Lucas. He was the 76ers general manager and coach. His daughter went to Lower Merion High School, and his wife had told him that she saw somebody who was a better high school player than him. And that was a pretty big deal for him because he was a former number one pick. He was the first guard to go number one overall.
And I told her, I said, you must be crazy. And she said, yeah, I am. And so she said, please go to this high school game with me. You'll see it.
So he was like, okay, I'm going to go check this kid out. So John Lucas walks in and he sees Joe Bryan in there.
When I got there, I saw Jellybean. Kobe's dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, well, what are you doing here, Jellybean? He said, I'm here to see my son. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm here to see some kid named Kobe Bean. He said, that's my son.
And so he sat there and he watched Kobe play. And this was Kobe's junior year. And John Lucas was so impressed with him because he just could just see the skill. You know, he jumped center, but he ran point guard. And he just had this confidence. He could just sort of see that this kid was on a different level. Even though his team wasn't as good, he just knew he was on a different level. Since he had access to the Sixers facility as the GM and coach, he extended the invitation to Kobe to just come out and work out with the Sixers before and after practices. And Kobe just jumped at the opportunity.
Our workouts were at 6 a.m. in the morning, and I never beat him there. And I lived right in Wynwood at Main Line and City Line.
And like you said, Lower Merion is an elite public school. It's on par with a lot of private schools in the area. And the Lower Merion team often face teams from inner city schools. How much resentment did Kobe face for, you know, playing for the rich school?
Yeah, a lot. You know, John Lucas told me that, you know, there are times that, you know, he could just see that there was a lot of hate for Kobe.
And I used to tell him all the time, I don't pay no attention to that. You just go play. Fake bullies.
And that's sort of the attitude that, Kobe took out there. It was like, well, you think I'm soft. You think I'm this. Well, I'm going to show you.
And there's this story of John Lucas bringing Kobe to work out with the Sixers and Kobe almost getting into a fight with Vernon Maxwell.
Yeah, Vernon Maxwell, he was known as Mad Max because he was such a hot-tempered guy who once got ejected for getting overly physical with Michael Jordan.
Maxwell's teammates trying to restrain him from the official. He throws his gum at Jack Knees. Vernon Maxwell's been thrown out of the game. Now, he has fouled out, but he's not being allowed to go to the bench because he's been tossed out of the game.
Right.
And he even got suspended for punching a fan out who was heckling him during the game. So, you know, this was a crazy guy. At least that was his reputation, that he was just this wild, just fiery guy. And Kobe's battling him. It's they're going to play in the 10.
And he and Kobe at 9-9 for the game. We're about to fight. It was point game in front of him. Jesus Christ, Luke. This guy gonna be some. He ain't scared. I thought he gonna fight.
And all of a sudden, John Lucas just has to shut it down because, you know, Kobe is about to get into a fight with Mad Max, who probably would have eaten him alive.
And I said, man, this guy kid crazy. I said, Kobe, are you nuts?
The fact that Kobe, you know, who was about to become a high school senior, was not backing down in any way to a almost 30-year-old man, a 7-year NBA vet, he just left an impression on everybody in that gym.
And Michael, you've written that if John Lucas's career had played out a little differently, Kobe's life could have followed a completely different path.
Yeah, he wasn't just working out Kobe just because he was just being a noble, great guy. I mean, he did think that Kobe was the best player, you know, in the draft. But Harold Katz, the owner of the 76ers, sold the team in April of 1996 to Pat Croce. And Pat Croce determined that he was going to hire his own general manager and coach. That meant that John Lucas was fired. And so John Lucas didn't get a chance to take Kobe, and he would have taken him number one over Allen Iverson, which would have been a crazy decision at the time, because we all know the 96 draft was one of the best to ever, you know, be produced. And he was about to take a high school kid who at the time was considered a mid first round pick.
But instead of getting drafted by his hometown team, he gets taken by the Hornets and then traded to the Lakers. What's his relationship with Philly like at this point?
He always loved coming back to Philly. He always took a lot of pride in being, you know, from the area. And I think it was sort of a harmless thing whenever he come to town once a year. But after the 2001 NBA Finals, things changed for how Philadelphia viewed Kobe and also how Kobe sort of felt about Philadelphia in some ways. The Lakers beat the Sixers in 5 games. You know, they destroyed the Sixers, who won the first game, but then lost the next 4. And Kobe told a fan that they're going to cut your heart out. And I think that, you know, attitude just rubbed a lot of fans the wrong way, because they saw this suburban kid who was, you know, the son of an NBA player who had every privilege possible. Now he's talking smack to our team, and we have this guy, Allen Iverson, who just sort of embodies the grit of Philadelphia.
How about that?
You know, he was a guy that played hurt. He was a guy that was undersized. He was a guy that, you know, had a rough path that he was overcoming, and he seemed to just have this edge about him that just represented Philadelphia in every way. And he loved the team, and they loved him, and so he was one of theirs.
It's like Larry Brown is going to take out some of his players so they can get the recognition from this crowd. Allen Iverson getting ready to sit down and listen to this moment.
Standing ovation for Iverson.
And so for Kobe to come in and sort of beat Allen Iverson, and then as his career progressed, eventually surpass him as a champion and as a scorer, I think that that was something that a lot of Philly fans resented, because Iverson represented a certain amount of hope and Kobe just crushed it.
The Lead is sponsored by Simply Safe. Every night, local police departments across America receive hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The vast majority of the time, they have no idea whether the alarm is real. All the alarm company can tell them is the motion sensor went off. Simply Safe home security is different. If there's a break-in, Simply Safe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. Plus, Simply Safe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself, no tools needed. That's how I did it at my place. Or Simply Safe can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Visit simplysafe.com/lead. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Go now and be sure you go to simplysafe.com/LEAD so they know our show sent you. That's simplysafe.com/lead.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Michael, the year after Kobe and the Lakers beat the Sixers in the NBA Finals, Kobe comes back to Philly, and he seems excited to try to reconnect with his hometown fans.
The All-Star game is in Philadelphia, and it's like a dream come true for Kobe to be home, to be an All-Star, to be at the top, to be a champion, a two-time champion, no less, at that point, going for three in a row. He wore his dad's number 23 throwback jersey. It meant everything to him. And so he knew he was going to go out there and put on a show in front of his hometown fans, at least that's who he thought were hometown fans. And he scored 31 points, won All-Star Game MVP.
Tonight, with 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists, the star of stars of the greatest players in the world was the 2002 MVP, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe is holding the MVP trophy, and fans are loudly booing him. They are booing him to the point where they wanted him to know how much they disliked him, and he was crushed.
Yeah, my feelings are hurt, man. I mean, I'm just out there trying to play and have a good time, and my feelings are hurt being from Philadelphia.
I talked to people who said that after the game that Kobe had to be consoled, because he had such a deep affection and love for Philadelphia and appreciation for Philadelphia. He knows that everything that he is a basketball player is because of Philadelphia, and he wanted to give Philadelphia the show, and he did. And I think for the rest of his career, it always stung him. He was rejected in the most public way possible.
And despite it all, you know, Kobe really did love Philly, even when Philly didn't love him back.
Yeah, he did, because he still had family here. He still came back. So it's something he could never deny. You know, he still loved the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. You know, he cried tears of joy.
Oh, my God. Yes, we won. We won the Super Bowl. That's it. We won the Super Bowl. Oh, my God. Yeah, oh, my God.
And, you know, one of the last, you know, public images of him when the last time he was out publicly at a basketball game, at a Lakers game, he was rocking a Eagles knit cap, you know, and he loved this place. And I think it meant a lot that in his final game in Philadelphia with the Lakers, he got cheered.
A 6'6 guard from Lower Merion High School, where he won the title in 1996, number 24, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe made the announcement that that was going to be his last season before he played his final home game in Philadelphia. And everyone will say that's not a coincidence, you know, because I think that, you know, he knew his journey for basketball began with Philadelphia, and that if he could start this retirement tour there, I think it meant a lot to him to make that announcement. And the fans really responded that night. They gave him Kobe chants. He got a standing ovation. And you could just see he was really choked up. You know, he beat his chest and, like, blew a kiss to the crowd, because I think it meant the world to him. It took him 20 years. It took 20 years for it to happen. But the Philly fans finally gave him the love that he really, you know, just hoped could be requited.
How have the city of Philadelphia and the fans honored Kobe since his death?
The global basketball community and the Philadelphia 76ers are devastated by Sunday's tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, along with Christina Mauser, Ara Zobian.
In the first Sixers game after he died, the Sixers, they had a sticker on the side of the court with number 33 on it, which was his high school number at Lower Merion. And they also held a 33-second moment of silence. They had a tribute video that showed his last appearance with the Sixers when they introduced him pregame, and also, you know, when he made his exit from the game and he waved to the crowd for one last time. And it was really a beautiful gesture. And when I was driving home from the game, there were billboards up throughout the city, kind of in the Lakers font, but it said legend. I actually took my son to Lower Merion, and they had a little memorial out there. And he's two, so he doesn't really know anything. He was happy to see the stuffed animals that they laid out there. But I just kind of wanted him to see it, you know, for himself. He didn't know anything about what was happening. But I can say I took him to there, you know, the week that he passed.
Do you think that Kobe's death has changed what his legacy in Philadelphia will ultimately be?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, anytime someone dies in such tragic fashion, you know, everyone's going to hold them up to a different standard. He's a legend for sure. And he's a Philadelphia legend for sure. I asked Sonny Hill how he would rank, you know, Kobe among the NBA hierarchy. He didn't want to answer the question specifically like saying he's the best or he's the second best or whatever. He just wanted to say, you know, Kobe had 81 points. And like, who had more than him? And I said, you know, Wilt Chamberlain. He said, Wilt Chamberlain had 100. And he said, where is he from? And I said, Philadelphia. He said, there you go. So the top two scoring games in NBA history were by two guys from Philadelphia. And I think that's something that will always be there.
Well, Michael, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I'm glad that we could discuss this, because I think having these conversations and talking about them, it's been kind of cathartic.
You can read Michael Lee's story about Kobe Bryant's relationship with Philadelphia and his other coverage of the NBA at theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at The Lead. Well, the apology tour for the Houston Astros started on Thursday. And all I can say is, oof.
You know, our opinion is, you know, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, sign stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal summed it up pretty nicely, writing that forgiveness is not coming anytime soon, especially since a hitting coach and two front office employees who contributed to the rule breaking are still employed by the team.
A couple of Astros players, Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve, also gave public apologies on Thursday. And I gotta be honest, it lacked all sincerity.
I'm really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans.
The whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball.
You know, I'm going to have to agree with The Athletic's Jason Stark, who said that these players will be forever enshrined in the Cheaters Hall of Fame. And I also have to say, it is astounding to me how the Astros PR department has not managed to get any better in the last 4 months.
Meanwhile, a little bit of justice for Phoenix Suns fans. Devin Booker was named to the All-Star team on Thursday, replacing Damian Lillard, who suffered a groin injury on Wednesday. Booker will also take Lillard's place in the three-point shooting contest, which Booker won 2 years ago. The entire basketball world pretty much agreed that Booker was a huge All-Star snub. I mean, the guy is averaging 27 points and 6 assists on 50% shooting for the season. According to ESPN, the only other players in NBA history with those numbers are scrubs like LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Steph Curry, and the great Oscar Robertson.
That's it for the week. Thanks for listening. Our producers are Caitlin Plummer, Chris Siegel, and Chris Olin. Editing and production by senior producers Lee Hernandez and Matt Strout. Sound design and mixing by Aaron May, Wydon Lin, Scott Somerville, and the big Chileno, Marcelino Villalpando. Special thanks to Melissa Geisler for everything you've done for the team. The executive producer of The Lead is Anders Kelto. Our show is executive produced by Lee Hernandez, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kelto. See you on Tuesday after the holiday.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop popcorn. Imagine this. Perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients. Popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.